I'm Kyle Long, and you're listening to Cultural Manifesto. Stuart Copeland is best known as the co-founder and drummer of The Police. The British rock band sold over 75 million records and won 5 Grammy Awards. Copeland is also a prolific composer and arranger. He scored over 50 films and composed multiple operas and symphonic works. His latest project, Police, Deranged for Orchestra, brings both of these worlds together. The album features Copeland's orchestral arrangements of 10 classic Police tracks. Copeland will bring his Police, Deranged for Orchestra tour to the Palladium in central Indiana on October 19th. The performance will include 3 vocalists and a 28-piece orchestra. I recently spoke with Stuart Copeland via Zoom. We started the conversation by discussing his late 1980s project, Animal Logic, a collaboration with the jazz bassist Stanley Clark. Let's join our conversation. Stuart, thank you so much for taking time to speak with WFYI today. I'm a big fan of your work, and it's great to speak with you.
Well, it's great to be here with you.
As we get started, I have kind of a left field question for you. A lot of my work as a music journalist revolves around the history of jazz in Indianapolis. And one of our greatest jazz heroes in Indianapolis is Freddie Hubbard. And I believe,
I believe
you had an opportunity to record with Freddie in 1989 on your album with Animal Logic. Is that right? And did you work with him personally on that album?
That is correct. He showed this. He's a friend of Stanley Clark, another jazz legend. And he showed up and hello, nice to meet you. Standy handed him an envelope with $1,000, which he put into his, he opens up his trumpet case, puts it in, pulls out his trumpet with a big smile, says, "Okay, what would you like?" And he played an amazing solo for us.
Love is an ocean, I barely can swim. Scared of drowning, I grab on to win. I see the world is either black or white.
Sounds very transactional, but did that mean anything to you at the time?
Well, no, it's that kind of culture.
Yeah.
Because I think black musicians are just so used to getting ripped off that show me the money.
Yeah.
Was the vibe. But as soon as that's all settled, it was all art.
Yeah, yeah. Did that mean anything to you? Were you a fan? Had you followed his music at all as a young person?
Not really. I'm not a jazz fan. I was raised to be a jazz musician, which is why I'm kind of immune to the stuff. I don't hate it or anything, but it just doesn't do anything for me. I was raised on wrong jazz, which might explain it. I was raised on white big band jazz, you know, Stan Kenton and such. Although I did get Buddy Rich, I totally get Buddy Rich, but that's the jazz I was raised on. And of course, my buddy Stanley tells me, "No, dude, wrong jazz."
Yeah.
And so it just doesn't have any emotional impact on me. I'm not impressed by how many notes they can play or how f***ed up their chords are.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work for me. I much prefer blues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, blues, there's nowhere to hide. You've either got soul, you've either lived a life or not. And you need to have lived a life to make that one note mean something. In jazz, just wiggle your fingers and you can get away with anything. It's a smokescreen.
On the subject of jazz, when the Police formed, each of you brought very distinct and individual influences to the project. Sting had been playing with a jazz band called Last Exit. Andy Summers actually had a pretty strong background in jazz and had played with Zoot Money, an R&B group in England. You came straight from Curved Air, which was a prog rock band. On paper, all these elements don't seem to create a great recipe for new wave or punk music, but that was the movement the Police were born into. How did you guys make that work? And did you personally identify with the ethos of punk music?
Yes, I did. which was Burn It All Down. I had been struggling against the old system in Curved Air, where we're all working for the man. Mm. Every time we did a photo session or a gig or anything, it cost us money. It went, the record company would charge us. It was just not a business model that worked. And the scene was just suffocating with entropy. It was just all felt like it was winding down. Nothing new and exciting here, folks. And then this punk thing happened, and the music was crap, but the vibe was electric. And that's what the vibe, the enthusiasm was what inspired me. And also the do-it-yourself aspect of it, which was that we didn't have to go to the man. We didn't have to go to the record company. We could do it ourselves. I mean, I've raised 400 quid from a buddy of mine who was rich. We went down to a studio, recorded it. I took the tape to RCA, printed up 2,000 singles. I learned that I should have printed up the sleeves first and dropped them off at the record plant. Because then we got the 2,000 singles and then 2,000 paper sleeves, and had to, Sting and Henry and I had to sit there and pull them out of the white sleeve and put them into the picture sleeve. It was the DIY aspect of it, and also Sting too. It wasn't, and he was okay because it was a happening scene, even though it was an assault on his musical sensibilities. But one day, after we'd been struggling along, we ran into Andy Summers. Now, we were working as a rhythm section. We were the hot rhythm section in London. And in walks this guitarist on the session who just had all this music sophistication. And driving home that night, Sting was seething, having been reminded of what he picked up his instrument for, playing actual music. Oh, God, I remember that now. And he was thinking, we got to get that guy. And I'm thinking, yeah, we're not going to get that guy. We can't afford that guy in a million years. Little did we know that Andy had discovered us. And long story short, this is all in my book, which is just coming out at the end of the month, by the way. Andy decided that, me and that bass player, we've got something going on, but we need him in the band, and he accepts. And that's when the Police really began. And because we'd been playing crap songs that I wrote up until that point. And when Andy joined, with his, just wider vocabulary, that's when Sting started to write Roxanne, Message in a Bottle, and the rest of them. We didn't have any of those songs for the first year and a half.
Before we talk about the Police Deranged Tour, I want to ask about your latest album, Police Beyond Borders, which is a fascinating record. It's a joint collaboration between you and the Indian composer Ricky Cage. The album features artists from across the globe interpreting the music of the Police, including the Soweto Gospel Choir from South Africa, the legendary Chinese rock icon Chui Jen, and many other notable guest artists. This record really speaks to your personal background, I think. I believe you spent much of your early life in Europe, North Africa, and the Middle East. Tell us about this amazing new record, and did your life experiences plant the seeds for the sort of fusion we hear on this album?
Very much so. There's two of it, this album. There's Police Beyond Borders, which is the show that I'll be playing soon up in Carmel. Mm-hmm. And then, which was an album, which is, these orchestral derangements of Police songs where I messed up the form of them, but they're still recognizable with an orchestra and three soul singers on the mic. The album came out, did really well. Number two in the classical crossover chart, number three in the actual classical chart, which tells you how hard up they are for albums. I mean, where was Mozart that week? Then Ricky Cage, talking to Ricky Cage, with whom we had just won a couple of Grammys over the last 2 years, he said, send me over those backing tracks. So I sent over the orchestra, me, and the whole album, all the stems, And he found all these other incredible elements, you know, global elements to thread in there. I mean, wait till you hear Every Breath You Take in Zulu. Hmm. Yes, my background in growing up kind of globally, it felt like kind of a more personal project.
You mentioned the Police Deranged for Orchestra album and tour, which you'll be bringing here to Indiana on October 19th. As you mentioned, you'll have a 28-piece orchestra, three vocalists, and a rock trio here performing the music of the Police. And to me, this project merges two of perhaps the biggest threads in your musical career. One of those obviously being your work as a drummer for the Police, the other being your extraordinary career as a composer and arranger. You've scored, I think, over 50 films. You've worked with directors like Oliver Stone, Francis Ford Coppola. Beyond that, I think you composed an opera just recently based on the life of Tesla. Tell us a little more about the concept behind Police Deranged for Orchestra, and is this bringing together these two huge sides of your musical life and musical persona?
Very much so. My 20 years as a film composer, before as a hired gun, gave me an involuntary education in orchestra and how you use it and what are the amazing things that it could do. Now, I retired from film composing, I don't know, almost 15 years ago or something like that. I haven't scored a movie in that long. But those chops that I learned, and by the way, for your listeners who are musicians, piece of strange advice, don't be afraid of selling out. Because sometimes when you work for the man, or rather when you work for a session, and you have to go where your client or boss tells you to go, you learn things that you wouldn't have learned as an artist just following your own instincts. But that's a digression. So I learned how to use an orchestra and the amazing things that it could do. Meanwhile, I still enjoy banging stuff. And the song, you know, I've been doing these, you know, I've had commissions from the Pittsburgh Symphony, the Dallas, the Liverpool, you know, these are, they commission a piece and I go and perform it with them. And someone said, how about you throw in some Police songs there? And the penny dropped. And I had these derangements, which were carved up versions of Police songs that I'd used in my film, a soundtrack for my own film about the Police, using the Super 8 footage that I shot back in the day. Carving the music up for the movie gave me these strange derangements, and I orchestrated those versions for the show. And the show is a blast. Oh my gosh. It's, you know, if you can imagine with the three soul sisters on the mic, imagine it's like the Police sung by the Supremes with a mighty orchestra around it and me banging shit.
Finally, Stuart, I'm curious if you've gotten any word from your old bandmates about the Beyond Borders or the Deranged for Orchestra projects, or do you even care what they think about?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I care. Yeah, it's critical to me, old Stingo. You know, I didn't send him, you know, he'll hear it one way or another if he's interested, but I did send him Tea in the Sahara in Chinese. I couldn't resist. It's so out. It's so out. I just wanted to imagine him going cross-eyed. And I also sent him this huge tome, the scores, you know, the conductor's scores of all of those songs, of 20 Police songs, fully orchestrated by my own fair hand, just by way of a brag, see what I can do, look what I've learned. And he was impressed. We get along really well. We are very tight. Although we are birds of a different feather, we appreciate what each other brought into our lives. And so, yes, and it matters a great deal to me what my two colleagues think.
The Police, Deranged for Orchestra, will be at the Palladium on Thursday, October 19th. Our listeners can purchase tickets and find more information at your website, stuartcopeland.net. Any final thoughts you want to share before we go?
Well, I'm looking forward to getting out there. Last time I was in Indiana, I was up at Manchester University there where they performed my opera, The Invention of Morel. And hopefully I'll see some of the cast and, you know, folks who put that opera on there. I'm looking forward to being back in Indiana.
Thank you so much, Stuart. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thanks for listening.
Take care. See you at the Palladium. Thanks to my guest, Stuart Copeland. And thank you for listening. Subscribe, download, and listen to Cultural Manifesto at wfyi.org. or wherever you listen to podcasts.